Today, investor loans go boom. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of those posts covering finance and property news. One of the worst decisions the ABS made was to reduce the reporting of new lending trends from monthly to quarterly, delaying, of course, any reactions from regulators or commentary from analysts. So today's quarterly release relates to the September quarter and confirms what we'd suspected, namely that the number of investment loans in the September quarter increased to its highest level since March 2022. New mortgage commitments to investor borrowers leaped 17.6% in September from June, making it the biggest quarterly gain since June 2021, and pushing total investor loan commitments to a record $39.8 billion. The ABS attributes this to falling borrowing costs and low vacancy rates, creating favourable conditions for investors. And the strength of investor lending also pushed the total value of all new dwelling loans to a record high in September. The ABS reported that there were 57,624 new investment loans approved in the September quarter, a 13.6% or 6,906 loans rise compared to the previous quarter, and a growth of 12.3% through the year. The total value of new investment loans was $39.8 billion in the December quarter. That's a rise of 17.6% or $6 billion. And the average loan size rose by $11,686 to $685,634 over the quarter. Both the number and the value of new investment loans reached record highs in September. The number of investment loans has increased since March 2023, with investment loans reaching around 40% of the total of new loans. There was growth in the number of investment loans across all states and territories. New South Wales saw a 19% increase, Victoria 18.5%, Queensland 11.9%, Western Australia 9.1%, South Australia 7.1%, the ACT 27.8%, though not season adjusted, Tasmania 10.6%, and the Northern Territory 5.1%. The increase pushed investor borrowing to around 41% of the total, which is just a few percentage points below the 45% figure that hit back in 2014, when the Australian Prudential Regulatory Authority, APRA, imposed speed limits on investor loan growth. The proportion of investment loans was in the low 40% range in early 2017, when the regulator increased restrictions. So it's creeping back towards levels that previously saw APRA intervening to slow it down. And in fact, APRA warned lenders late last month to get ready for a renewed round of possible restrictions on investor lending after the RBA data showed that investor home loans climbed by 0.7% in September. That's the highest monthly increase since June 2015. Turning to new owner-occupied loans, there were 83,846 new owner-occupied loans approved in the September quarter. That's a 2% increase. That's 1,606 loans compared to the previous quarter, and growth of 1.7% through the year. Total value was $58.2 billion in the December quarter. That's a rise of 4.7%. And the average loan size rose by $15,873 to $693,801 over the quarter. The September quarter in the rise of the number of loans was driven by demand in New South Wales, up 4.9%, Victoria 2.4%, and the ACT 6.7%. While growth in the number of loans refinanced between lenders was relatively flat, at around 0.1% in the September quarter, refinance activity is 18.7% higher than this time last year. and the number of first home buyer owner-occupied loans grew by just 667 loans, or 2.3%, to 29,637 in the September quarter, and that's 0.9% through the year. This was before the 5% deposit scheme was brought forward, of course. There were rises in Victoria up 1.4%, New South Wales 0.6%, South Australia up 1.9%, Tasmania up 2%, and the ACT at 1%. The average loan size for first home buyer owner-occupied loans rose by $5,532 to $560,249. But of course, average loan size is a lot bigger in some states. So overall, the market is gaining steam. Housing values jumped 1.1% in October. That's the fastest monthly rate in more than 2 years, according to Cotality figures. And the 6.1% national gain in prices so far this year has already topped the 6% growth target that Commonwealth Bank of Australia economists had for the calendar year as a whole. Oh, and of course, their lending was also up 6.1%. Two important observations on all this. First, the RBA has belled the cat in its recent statement on monetary policy, showing modelling that rising property prices will lift overall GDP, despite the parallel rise in pressure on affordability. However, the rise in investor lending also means more will take advantage of the tax breaks which exist for investors, which costs ordinary taxpayers dear. Second, 83% of new loan commitments to property investors were for the purchase of existing homes rather than new builds. These purchases do absolutely nothing to increase the overall supply of housing. And while they do increase the supply of rental housing, they increase the demand for rental housing by exactly one equal amount, by outbidding would-be owner-occupiers. So it's a zero-sum game. Now, the figures for the December quarter won't be out until the middle of February, by which time we're going to see the full impact of the government's 5% first-time buyer scheme. And despite the expectations that future rate cuts are all but off the table for now, the combination of more generous support from government and higher demand from both investors and first-time buyers, driven by high migration, amongst other things, will push values higher, and so lending higher. Higher lending is clearly inflationary. But then, of course, though bigger mortgages lift the costs of borrowing, those are conveniently excluded from the CPI reports. We only have poor proxies for housing costs via rent, which are still rising thanks to low vacancies, and new builds, which are only a small part of the housing story and which have been fudged by deep discounts being offered by some builders. So all up, changes in reporting frequency, rising average new loans, and rising prices are all about trying to bolster the GDP, never mind the impact of ordinary Australians. Yes, Minister, you've done it again. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.